everyone. Welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Today we are chatting about Pinterest and how artists can use it to get more eyes on their art. And I've always thought that Pinterest is an underrated social media platform. And I know that it has certainly done a lot for my art business with much less effort than some of the other social media platforms that I use. In particular, I'm talking about Instagram. It amazes me because when I go into my website statistics and look at where the traffic is coming from to my site, about 40% of the traffic that comes to my website comes from social media, and more than half of that is from Pinterest. And it's actually more than Instagram, which blows my mind because I put so much more effort into creating reels and creating carousels and photos and engaging and posting on Instagram. You're talking about hours and hours of time each week. But Pinterest, I only pop into Pinterest every couple of months. It's a completely different type of strategy that I use with Pinterest. And I think it's very much a hands-off approach. And it really is surprising to me how effective Pinterest can be for artists. So let's, I guess, start with Pinterest. You know what it is, but it's not something that you've ever used, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things that I know nothing about, but every time I want to look up an image on Google, it will more than likely take me to Pinterest.
Well, that's one of the first benefits of Pinterest is that it shows up in search engines and it is a searchable database. So people go in there and use it almost like Google, except they're looking for images. So they type in what they're looking for. So it's very different to something like Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, where people usually go onto those social media platforms for some light entertainment. They're not specifically looking for something. They're not searching up things. They're just scrolling through and seeing what hits them. Whereas someone might go to Pinterest with a very specific idea of what they are looking for. So when I was thinking about my new studio and how I wanted to organize it and lay it out, I went to Pinterest and I typed in studio organization, studio ideas and things like that. Similarly, if people are looking for art techniques, they might go in and type in watercolor painting or watercolor florals, or if they are looking for art to hang in their home, it's one of those places that's often the first point of call where you might go in and type abstract painting, landscape painting. So it's highly used by people who are seeking something and actually wanting to solve a problem, potentially purchase a product, get ideas, find artists that they want to follow. And so I have found that you don't necessarily need to post a ton of stuff on there, but it can be very effective. And actually, sorry, I should say I do post quite a bit, but I don't put a lot of effort into it. And I'll explain that more in a minute, because one of the things that you can do with Pinterest is almost set it up on autopilot. So this is one of those platforms where I use a ton of batching, and I'm not much of a batcher when it comes to any other platform. But before I get into that, I also wanted to clarify something, because some people have said that Pinterest isn't a social media platform. It's a search engine. It's not really a social media product or platform, as I said. But there is a social side to Pinterest as well. People do actually write comments and send messages and things like that. It's much smaller than what it is on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram. And I love that because I don't feel the pressure with Pinterest to respond to comments. I don't even pay attention to the numbers on Pinterest. It just doesn't have that same, it's not set up in the same way that some of the other social media platforms are, where it's quite competitive. Like you're always looking at how many likes did I get for that post? How many comments did I get? How engaging was it? I just don't buy into that with Pinterest. It's one of those platforms I use. I see benefits, but I don't feel competitive about it, or I don't feel caught up in the numbers. It's one of those peaceful platforms for me. It doesn't bug me or affect my emotional state in any kind of way. And yet it brings all this traffic to my website, which is amazing. So when I first started using Pinterest, this is many years ago now, the first thing that I did was I set up an automation, and I can't remember what the piece of software I used. You might have to Google search this to find something that can do it. But basically, it was this little code that enabled me to automatically post everything that I posted on Instagram automatically to Pinterest. And that's a really simple thing to do. So that's where I started. And I do feel like that may have contributed in some ways to the growth of my Instagram account in the early days, because every Pinterest post was linking back to my Instagram. But as I grew the business, I realized that I didn't actually want all these people going to my Instagram. I wanted to bring them over to my website, because the website is where they can more easily find my classes, purchase art, and really get engaged in what I am doing. So I turned off that automation and I started to use a product called Tailwind. So Tailwind is a social media scheduler. You can use it across a variety of platforms, but it has become really well known for being a Pinterest scheduler. And what it enables you to do is create a whole lot of pins. So a pin is anything that you put onto Pinterest. So it can be a photograph, it can be a carousel, it can be a video. It's the same as the other social media platforms. The only difference is that they do prioritize very long, skinny portrait size images, but you can still post other images, but the recommended size for Pinterest is definitely a portrait orientation. So once you've created all these pins, you can put them in a loop. And what that means is you can decide how often your pins will get pinned onto Pinterest from that loop of content. So what I did was I went through all of my photographs of my art and I picked out all my favorite images of my art. I uploaded them into a loop. So I might have 100 images of art, and that's my Laura Horn art loop. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to pin two of those photographs a week to my Pinterest. Now, as you can imagine, with 100 photographs and 52 weeks in a year, it's going to take a full year to work through those images. And then I did the same thing with other things that I have. So I created a loop for all the podcast episodes. I created a loop for all our YouTube episodes. And I created a loop for all our freebies and free resources. So this sounds like a lot of work. It sounds crazy, but you could sit down for a day, set up your loops, and have content running through your Pinterest for the rest of the year. And that's what I do. So I set everything up on a loop. And then as I get new episodes, so new episodes of the podcast, new YouTube videos, new artwork, I add them into the loop. And it's so slow, it doesn't create any problems with reposting too often, posting the same thing, because Pinterest doesn't like that. But if your loops are big enough and it's going to take a year or 2 years before you loop back to the same episode, it's fine. It works fine. So you just need to create nice big loops. Sounds kind of loopy talking about all these loops. I hope this makes sense. This is the first episode that we've done this season, which is almost like a little mini training on a more technical topic. So before I sat down to do this episode, I pulled some statistics off of my website and my Pinterest in order for people to see just how beneficial Pinterest can be. So I think I took a look at how many visits I had to my website in the last 7 days and where they were coming from. And Richie's got the cheat sheet. So what stats did I pull?
Okay, key stats. approximately 40% of your website traffic comes from social media. The last 30 days, 5,347 visits were from Pinterest. 4,244 visits came from Instagram. 849 came from Facebook. 781 from YouTube.
I find that interesting because YouTube is probably the most effort and it's down low as far as how many people actually come from YouTube over to my website. In relation to Pinterest, for years and years now, it's always been the main traffic source. So as you said, 40% of my website traffic comes from social media. So the rest of it is coming from people putting in direct searches, maybe Google search, things like that, looking up the website because they already know it. But 40% is still quite a lot. So you can see how social media really can help with website traffic. And many people set up a website and they spend so much time on creating this amazing website with all the bells and whistles, and then when it's set up, they wonder why they're not getting people over through your social media platforms is very, very important.
I thought that would have been the opposite. I thought it would have been 60% from social media and maybe 40% from searches.
Well, what I suspect is that many of the people that come over to my website come over because they click on a link in my newsletter. So that would count differently to those stats.
Or from this podcast.
Yeah, so there's other ways that people could come through. So yes, I think the newsletter is the big one. So that's why social media is only 40%, and then the newsletter would be quite a bit, and then the rest would be people looking up Laura Horner in their Google Chrome or something like that.
There's a crazy stat here. On Pinterest, I have 59,000 followers and a monthly view count of 4 million.
It's pretty staggering when you think about it. And it fluctuates quite a bit depending on how much effort I'm putting into making sure that I have fresh content in these loops that I talked about and I'm uploading new things. I sometimes have periods where I pause some of my loops because I don't want to repeat things and it will drop down a bit. So I do want to say that it is important to post regularly on Pinterest. And I think I sort of slipped up earlier where I said quantity is not that important. It is. You do need to be consistently posting. I don't know if there's a magic number of, you know, post twice a day, once a day, five times a day, but I would say that it is towards the more end of that. It's not like Instagram, where with Instagram, I find that if I post more than once a day, I start to have a bit of a negative effect. I can sort of get away with twice a day, but if I was to post three times a day, people would be quite repelled by that. They would find me annoying. They would unfollow. It has this quite negative effect. Pinterest is not like that. You can go ham on Pinterest, and the more you post, the better, really. As long as you're posting quality stuff, it seems to work that way. So I generally aim to post at least once a day on Pinterest, but sometimes I go through periods where I want to amp it up and then I'll post two or three times a day. But again, it's all batched. So I'll just spend some time batching and then make sure that I have enough stuff coming through so that every day someone's getting maybe two pieces of my artwork, a blog post, a podcast episode, a YouTube, a freebie. Like, I can really ramp it up if I want. And there has been a point where my views has been around the 10 million per month when I've been in this really active phase of pumping lots of content into Pinterest. Right now I'm in a relaxed phase with Pinterest to fit with my relaxed theme for this season and this year. And so I have actually taken my foot off the gas a little bit. And I've just got some basic stuff running in the background. And then when I have a little bit of time, maybe later this year, I will sort of load things up again. But I do need that day or two to just batch a whole lot of new content. So, so that's what I find. Like, when everything's going well, it goes really well, but sometimes it just sort of peters off a little bit.
So let's say I'm an artist or a photographer or whatever, and I want to put together my own website. I have a Pinterest account, but I don't really use it. I have an Instagram account that I like to share on. How do I decide what art to put into a loop? Like, is it just my best work? Because I know on my website, I only want to show my best work.
Well, it's interesting that you ask that. What I find with Pinterest is that you can try and control what ends up on there and make sure that you only have your best work, but people can pin your work. So other people are pinning your stuff. And because of that, you can end up with anything on there. And sometimes I find that things get pinned to me and they're not even my art and the links are all wrong and I have no idea how this happens. This is one of the downsides of Pinterest, is that sometimes you'll see your art, but then you'll click on the pin and it won't be taking you to your website. So this is one of the things where you have some activity on Pinterest that isn't legit. Like, people are using your artwork to pull them over to some spammy website. This happens to me quite a bit. So that's one of the downsides of Pinterest, is that people will pull stuff from other people, put it up there, send it over to different websites. It can get messy. And I just try not to worry too much about that and just focus on the good that it does for my art business. But I don't think you can really control everything that goes on to Pinterest, and that's something that you have to be aware of, because sometimes I see things now that I've put on Instagram years ago and it will be this pin that pops up and I'm like, oh man, I didn't want that on Pinterest. But there you go. There it is.
So when you say someone else pins your work, does that mean if someone comes to my website and there's a photograph of a landscape that I don't think I want to put on Pinterest, you saying someone can pin that from my website?
Yeah.
Onto Pinterest?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they do that by putting it into their own Pinterest folder?
Yeah, because people go around searching for inspiration, and you can get a little, I think it's like a Chrome extension, which is like a pinning tool, and you can just pin images from different websites and create a mood board or that kind of thing. So it is really easy to just pin anything. Now, you can make it easier for people to correctly pin by installing a Pinterest on your website. So when you go on to my website and you hover over any image, little Pinterest symbol will come up and people can pin it, and it will make sure that it pins it correctly.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it'll pin it, and then it will have the link to my website on it. So if they pin an image, it will take them to my portfolio page on my website, or if they pin a blog post, it will take people to the blog post on my website. So definitely have a look into that. There's information on the Pinterest website on how to actually get set up with Pinterest, how to install it on your website, how to pin other people's stuff. So I have quite a lot of boards as well of inspiration. So I have boards around color and styles of art and artists that I enjoy and textures and mark making. So I don't just pin my own stuff, I also pin inspiration as well. So that's the other side of Pinterest. These days I do more pinning of my own stuff on Pinterest, but when I first started, I did a lot of pinning things that I wanted to use to help my art practice. So that's another side of Pinterest, the more personal side. And actually in the course, or in our bigger art course, the Creative Blend Art Program, we have a module on art style discovery. And one of the exercises in that module is how to use Pinterest positively and how to curate artwork by other artists without the intention of copying their artwork, but using aspects of their art for inspiration and having a lot of different sources and really understanding why you are attracted to a certain piece of art. And I have a Pinterest board where I have selected, I think it's about 50 pieces of art under various categories. So I've selected a certain number of pieces because I really love the color palette, and a certain number of pieces because I love the mark making, and a certain number of pieces because I love the mood. And the whole exercise is around being super intentional about what you pin and limiting yourself. So you can't just pin everything. You can only pin 50 pins, for example. And so you have to be really discerning about what you like if you can only pin 50 pins. So if you imagine you went onto Pinterest as a photographer and you had to pin 10 pins of photos where you really love the composition, and 10 the color, and 10 the texture or mark making, it helps you to understand what you really love. And then another part of the exercise is to then take inspiration from several of those pins rather than just one, and then like mash it together and come up with a piece of art where you are bringing in some of those ideas, but you are not just looking at one piece. So that's in the Creative Blend Art Program, which is our year-long art course, and that's module 7. So I thought I would mention that. I wasn't planning on mentioning that, but I just remembered that Pinterest exercise, and it's just another side of Pinterest, because this has been a conversation that's very much about using Pinterest as a tool, a business tool as an artist, using Pinterest to get eyes on your art or other aspects of what you offer. But of course, Pinterest is also a valuable tool for personal exploration, inspiration. You can certainly go down rabbit holes with Pinterest, but it can be incredibly beneficial. I mean, I used that example of using Pinterest to design my new studio. Like, there are so many applications where you can use Pinterest when you are not trying to sell something or promote something. You can use it for your own personal inspiration and as a way of curating what you enjoy and what you want to bring into your art or your art practice or your art studio. There's many ways you can use Pinterest.
Yeah, it sounds great. It's just something that doesn't interest me at all.
I'm pretty sure that most people that use Pinterest, I don't have the information on the demographic, but I think I read somewhere that it's mainly women. It's a really popular platform with women. So that may be part of the reason why it just doesn't appeal. But I talk to friends and family members, and as soon as we're thinking about something, whether it's renovating a room or a house or doing something in the garden, the next thing that comes up in conversation is, oh, I've made a Pinterest board about it.
The only reason I have it is because, as I said, I would Google search and I would click on an image and it would take me to Pinterest. And sometimes you can't look at that image or continue unless you have an account.
I only do it when I have a purpose. It's not a place that I scroll regularly.
Do you have the app on your phone?
I do, and I barely ever access it on my phone unless something comes up. So if there was a kid's birthday party and I wanted to decorate or plan a garden bed or something like that, or I particularly wanted to research a type of art, then I'll go in. But it could be months in between visits. But I do know people that are on Pinterest every day. So there are people who enjoy being on Pinterest just as much as being on Instagram or Facebook. And it is a very popular platform. And our daughter, Sophia, who's 16, she loves Pinterest and uses it all the time for things like planning out her room, how she wants to decorate it, planning outfits. There's a whole world of things on Pinterest in relation to lifestyle. Cooking is another thing. There's heaps of recipes on Pinterest. So it's broad. It covers many personal interests and hobbies. So if you're into gardening, cooking, decorating, art, craft, it's a great source of inspiration. So I do really love Pinterest. I love the layout of it. It has a really nice design to it. I love to put together boards because you get that opportunity to view a whole lot of ideas at once. It's almost like having a mood board, and you know that I love having a physical pin-up board where I add my inspiration and my artwork so I can look at it together and get a feeling or a sense of what I want to bring into my work. You can do that digitally. So sometimes there are people who come into my courses because we create a mood board in the course that I'm about to start running, Modern Mixed Media. And some people don't have the space for a pin-up board. And a suggestion that I would always have for them is create a digital one and use Pinterest, or you could use something like Canva and create a mood board with your own inspiration. So I do think it's a fantastic tool for different reasons, both on the business side of things and the artistic process. But just be mindful that you don't want to spend all your time flicking through inspiration, creating Pinterest boards and not actually putting things into practice. And there is always that risk. Pinterest is very easy to spend many hours on. So you want to just put some limitations around. And that's why I usually only pop in every month or two, spend some time, and then I don't go there other than that. So I have a pretty clear boundary around how much time I spend on Pinterest, and I've always made it my sort of less hands-on social media platform, and knowing that I won't spend heaps of time on it. So I wanted to just get back to what you were saying about if you were just getting started and you were setting up a website, how would you use Pinterest? Because it might feel overwhelming when I talk about all the things that I pin, because you may not have all of that stuff.
I'm just trying to think what... What does your homepage look like? Does it look like Instagram? Does it look like Facebook? Do you even have a homepage?
You do, and it's organized into categories. So when you go into my homepage, you have what they call boards, and you can organize them. So I have a board for watercolor painting. I have a board for acrylic painting, a board for inspiration, a board for the podcast, a board for YouTube. So it's organized so that you can look at the different categories. It's quite different to Facebook and Instagram in the way that it's laid out. If you were just getting started, just realize that there's no limits on what you can post on Pinterest. You don't have to just post fully finished art pieces. You can post progress shots. You can share little thoughts about what you are doing and what you're using. People love to know what suppliers you've used, so you can put that in the caption. What else? You can share other content that you create for platforms like Instagram and Facebook and just repurpose it slightly. So rather than pointing it over to Instagram, if you create a reel that shows your process for a piece, upload that reel and just point it to your shop page where your art is, or point it to an online class where you share that process.
So do you have content that only goes on Pinterest, and do you post from Pinterest? Because I'm getting a little bit confused here. You have your main website, which you curate, and it's your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Instagram, which is probably your most important social media platform. And then I thought if you posted something on Instagram, it was just kind of like also post on Facebook and also post on Pinterest. But are you saying that you actually put something specifically into Pinterest with its own caption in Pinterest and then send that back to Instagram?
I use the same content, but I tweak it for Pinterest. So I will take all the reels that we've created. I will take all the photographs we've taken. Sometimes I will only put one or two of the photographs that we do in a photo shoot on Instagram, but I might put all of them on Pinterest, but just spread them out.
I never knew that.
So I have all these buckets of content. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, I wait until I have a couple of free days, and then I go back through the last 6 months of photographs, reels, social media graphics, like for the podcast, YouTube graphics, and I upload them into my loops and I change the captions. So I won't necessarily use exactly the same caption. I might use the same caption, but I'll probably change the link because, as I said, I will link it to wherever it needs to go.
That sounds like so much work.
I guess anything that performs well takes an investment of your time and a strategy. So I have a strategy that I use with it. And to me, doing it in that way seems really time efficient to me, because I can quite quickly upload all of that stuff and copy over captions and tweak things, and then I'm done for 6 months.
If you didn't have an art business, would you still pursue this Pinterest thing? Is it advisable for someone who just wants to get their art out there?
Well, yeah, because you are going to get interaction from people. Even if you are creating a blog, for example, I started a blog many, many years ago that was unrelated to art, but I just loved doing it. I started it when I was on maternity leave with our son, and I loved sharing my writing and my thoughts. And it's so much more enjoyable to do that if people are commenting and interacting with what you are doing. Now, I wasn't making any money from that. I wasn't planning to make money from it. It was a hobby. It was just an interest. But in order for people to read my blog and comment and interact, I needed to get it out there in some kind of way. And it's the same with your art. Even if you don't have big, grand dreams around selling a ton of your work or getting into galleries, it's still lovely to have people comment and engage and see your work, and it spurs you on and it provides a motivational benefit, and you may end up selling some pieces and things like that. So yes, I would still recommend using something like Pinterest, but you can just do it on a much smaller scale. I've been on Pinterest now for a long time, probably since the beginning of my art business. So you're talking about nearly a decade of being on Pinterest. So over that time, I have added more and more and built up this system that works in the background for me, but I didn't have that at the start. So I would start small, and whatever it is that you might do in addition to your art. So many artists will have a newsletter, or they might have a blog, or they might have a podcast, or they might have a Patreon, or they might have a YouTube. Like, these are quite common things that many artists will have in addition to their art. You could just start posting your art and then whatever it is that you do in addition over on Pinterest. And if you run workshops, you could promote them on Pinterest, whatever you have, and just set that up. Now, if you don't want to create loops and you want to just do it as you go, you can do that. All the social media scheduling softwares out there, and even some of the in-house stuff these days with Instagram and Facebook, it's very easy to cross-post things. So you don't need anything too fancy. You can create content for Instagram and then just send it out to Pinterest and just start simple, because that's what I did to start with. It was all automatic. I didn't even tweak it. It's only now that I've seen the benefits of going in and refining the content a little bit and making it more suitable to Pinterest and making sure that it's linking where I want it to link. A little bit more time consuming, but beneficial, because if you post something that's an image from something that you've created in a class or an image of a piece that you've created, it's really lovely if that image points to exactly what it relates to, rather than just pointing to your website. A simple way to do it would be to just point everything to laurahornart.com and let people find, okay, I need to click on this part of the website to find the podcast, this part to find the blog. But as we've talked about in previous episodes, we lose people every time they have to take an extra step. So if we have something on Pinterest that promotes a piece of art or a blog post or a course or a workshop, and then when someone clicks on it, it takes them right to that point of your website so that they can enroll in the course, sign up for your workshop, buy the piece of art, the chances of that happening are much higher.
They're called landing pages, aren't they?
Yeah, so you want them to land in the right place as much as possible if you can afford the time.
Because we did a podcast, I think, about not future-proofing, but social media-proofing your business. And it was all about getting people to your website. Like, your website is the most important thing because it's the one thing that you control.
And that's probably around the time where I felt motivated to make the change. to stop just automatically posting from Instagram and sending everyone to my Instagram, I realized that I wanted to connect people more with my website. And when they are at my website, they have the opportunity to sign up for my newsletter list. And that's also something that I promote on Pinterest, my newsletter. And that way I am future-proofing my art business and making sure that no matter what happens with all these platforms, I can redirect people to a different place if needed. And so that has been a key focus in my art business for the last 4 or 5 years, is to bring people to my website and let them find everything via my website.
It makes that 60-40 percentage healthier now.
Well, it is healthier in a way because, as I said, I attribute a lot of that to my newsletter. So the dependence on social media is less. It's still 40%, but there's 60% of traffic coming from elsewhere and they are more direct sources of traffic. So that's a good thing. And it's interesting to look at the stats. You know, if you go into your website, you can dig in and see where is your website traffic coming from. Some people have never even looked at that. It's a useful thing to see, because I looked at that many years ago and I realized, whoa, whole lot of people are coming to my website from Pinterest. And that's when I started to invest more in Pinterest strategies. And I'm sure I went down some rabbit holes. You can learn about Pinterest on YouTube. If you just type in Pinterest, Tailwind, batching, creating smart loops, which is what I'm talking about, you can find tutorials on YouTube that will show you how to set all this up. It's just far too detailed to go into in a podcast episode, but I just wanted to give people an idea of how I have set mine up. It's, of course, not the only way to use Pinterest, but it might be interesting to people. I do find that with Pinterest, it is shifting a little bit in the sense that video is becoming more and more popular on Pinterest too. So in the past, Pinterest has been very photo heavy and graphic heavy, but it's gone in the way of all social media platforms. And recently I have been sharing my reels over there and finding that they do really well. So it's become more video focused. I'm not super happy about that. I actually wish there was a place that had stayed focused on photographs, because a while back when we were talking about social media and I was saying how frustrated I feel about this shift towards all this fast-paced video content. And it's very hard for artists. We don't have these tools to be creating reels. It was much easier when you could get to the end of your day and just snap a photograph of the art that you'd worked on that day and put it up on social media. I reminisce about those days all the time. Because
it just goes to show, though, how hive-minded we can be. I wonder how many people out there are making reels that would just love to take a photograph.
So many. But we are feeding into the problem.
100%. We just follow the trend, don't we?
Because we feel like we're going to be left behind if we don't. And to a certain extent, I think that's what's happening. And so we all end up creating reels, even though we don't really want to create reels. But then it shows the algorithm that everyone's creating reels and it just sort of feeds into this. So, yeah, it is a real shame, real shame.
Just sitting here thinking about it. Like 6 years ago, 100% of my business was photography. 100%. Now I'm 100% videography.
And we hardly ever do photo shoots anymore. And that used to be our, you know, bread and butter. Like we would sit down and take beautiful photographs of whatever art I'd created, and that would be something that we would do each week. But that's been replaced with creating reels and short form content. This drove me crazy for probably a good year or two. I've started to make peace with it and find ways to create reels and just get on with it. But now you've mentioned, I'm probably just feeding into this whole problem.
I love it when you finish a piece and you say, okay, Richie, I now need 4 portraits, 2 landscapes and some detailed shots. And I get to do a photo shoot, but it's only after a piece is complete. We never take the process shots anymore. We never take photographs of you anymore. It's just reel this, video that. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I'm just kind of reminiscing, I guess.
Yeah, well, I thought Pinterest might be a place where we could spend more time sharing photographs, but I'm finding that even over there is becoming very video focused. But I am finding that I can still share photographs in the mix, and I've let go. As I said in a recent podcast, I've really let go of worrying about how many likes there are on a post or how engaging it is. I'm not really interested in making sure that everything I post is winning as far as the algorithm, because I think there are different ways to win. And if you love taking beautiful photographs and you get a lot of satisfaction from that, there will always be a certain amount of people that enjoy that too. And I find that a mixture of things works great. And if I throw in photographs amongst video, amongst graphics, I just appeal to different people at different times. It's all good. And I like that approach. I like a mishmash of things. And so that's what I've been doing. I do the same on my Pinterest. I post all sorts of different types of content, and I don't feel like, oh, suddenly I have to make everything a video for Pinterest. Sure, some of my videos might do really well, but every now and then I will share a carousel of photographs and it will do really well. And once you let go of trying to predict and outsmart the algorithm, it all just gets so much easier. And so that's my approach this year, is to just focus on what feels good and enjoyable and keep the variety in there and just take it as it comes. I just interpret the data as it comes in, and I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. Not, okay, that did really bad, that did really well. I just go, oh, isn't that interesting? That did well, that didn't, you know, and then I move on. So on that note, I think this is probably a good place to wrap this conversation up. As I was saying, if I was just starting out with Pinterest and I wanted to activate or give my Pinterest strategy a bit of a boost or get it going for the first time, I would have a look at some of these softwares that I've mentioned, like Tailwind. Another one that I use at the moment is called CoSchedule. And I'm not sure, but I'm sure other social media schedulers now have these tools which make it really easy to repurpose your content. So I'd be looking at software or schedulers that can repurpose your content, but also have this feature of having a loop. So it might be called a smart loop, or in CoSchedule they call it requeue, which is where you can repurpose your content. So if you post something on Instagram, you can then turn it into a Facebook post, a Pinterest post, even YouTube Shorts, or there's all sorts of options now, TikToks. So you can pretty much push it out into anything. And then the option to tweak that once you've done that, so you can change any wording or links and make sure that each individual post suits the platform that you are posting on. And then the final kind of bell or whistle is the ability to then add that post to a requeue. So you might cross-post everything at the same time. So if you have a blog post coming out, you would send it out to your various social platforms all at once. And then you might add that at the same time, add that blog post to a loop or a requeue of all your blog posts. And then in 6 months' time or something like that, that blog post will get reposted, and you can choose where you repost it to. So at the moment, I have requeues only on Pinterest. I don't really use it on Instagram or Facebook because I already have too much content to post on those platforms as it is. But I use it on Pinterest so that things get repeated over time. And if you are just starting out and you are only beginning to add things to a loop, you just pause that loop as you add to it until it has enough content in it, and then you turn the loop on. So hopefully that makes sense. I do feel it's a bit tricky sometimes doing a more technical conversation on a podcast, But that's where I would start if I wanted to utilize Pinterest to get more eyes on your art or your other kinds of content that you share. So let us know if this has been helpful or interesting. I was thinking that maybe we could do an episode like this once a season where we dive into something that's a little bit more technical and share a strategy or an approach. So it could be diving into Instagram, YouTube, creating reels, something like that. So if you are interested in these more technical and I guess more art biz type conversations, let us know and we'll see if we can pop one in each season, particularly as we learn new things about these platforms. So that's it for this week. Thank you everyone who has been listening in. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please do think about perhaps snapping an image of the podcast and sharing it on a story. We do find that that's a really helpful way for people to learn about the podcast. And of course, reviews are like gold. So if you have been enjoying the podcast, we certainly love reading your reviews. And again, they're very beneficial for people who are coming to our podcast for the first time and want to get a feel for what this podcast is all about. And as always, you can find out more about me and my art business if you head on over to laurahornart.com or find me on Instagram at laurahornart.